Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And this is a very exciting day, not simply because it's Friday, which means that it's the end of the traditional work week, but because I get to hang out with all of these amazing people. And if we're lucky, we may be able to find something to talk about today. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So I'm thinking that we might as well just dive right in and start off with Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here. It's Friday. It's always the day I look forward to every week to hang out with you guys. And yeah, there is a little bit to talk about this week.
There's just a little bit to talk about. Yep. Good to be here. Yeah. And I have a feeling that we all may have opinions. Just a hunch.
Nah.
Yeah, we may be able to wrap this show up in like 5 minutes. Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. And you're right. I do have opinions. For example, Coke is better than Pepsi.
Yes. I will trust your judgment.
Yeah, I have also an opinion. Chuck should change his name. Chuck the Machine Joiner. How many videos you have posted the last week or two? Like, I can't keep up.
I witnessed it firsthand. So
yeah, no, we're not done yet, Patrice. We're not done.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. That's what I was hearing.
Yeah, not hundreds, but you know, it was.
I'm kidding.
So you're gonna have a sequel to the Chipolo video?
Chipolo 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You didn't like the Chipolo video?
I love the Chipolo video. I love their products. I want to test them out.
Yeah. 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 A lot of, you know, CES is always interesting because you never know what you're going to see. You know, you see people that you've looked at their products, maybe thought about their products, and there they are right in front of you, and you get to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And then there are these things that come right off the wall at you. That, you know, it's like, where did that come from? But it's a great idea. So,
yeah, I would like to have a lot of those products go right off the wall and into my backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck, do you remember the year at CES? I think it was at Showstoppers. There was the company that had the underpants that were basically Faraday cages, you know, to block the radio waves.
Yep, I do.
So I pulled those on over my regular pants and had Dave Hamilton filming me. And so I'm wearing their radio wave proof underpants over my pants while I'm interviewing the people. And at the end, I'm like, so, you know, if you have review product, I'll do a legit review on this. They didn't want to send me underpants.
Aww.
I remember you photobombing me in at least one interview, which I think it was at Showstoppers too.
Yeah. Yeah. I put a phone in my pocket and which was underneath the underpants. And I'm like, Dave, call me. And he does. And then I was so disappointed because it didn't ring. I mean, it worked. But you know, I wanted to make a joke and have it recorded about how it tickled, but I didn't get to make the joke.
Good times.
Maybe there's a reason why I'm not at CES anymore.
They miss you, Jeff. They miss you.
That's either good or bad. I'm not sure. Patrice, how are you?
Okay. No, it's fine. It's Friday. I'm quite happy to be here, but it's snowing. So that's not my favorite weather. And there's a lot of work going on at work, so yeah, not done for today, but okay.
Are we in the same place? Because it's snowing again today.
Yeah, I wish I would come over.
Yeah, we would have a great time.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, it's the typical time of the year when it snows here, like late January, like February, that time frame. I mean, can go until April, honestly, or May. But it barely ever snows here, and these days even less than it used to. But yeah, this time of the year it can happen. It doesn't last very long, so I'm happy. I just hate snow. Like, I look outside and I'm like, snowing. Like, go away.
It must be different from snow here, because snow here, it's pretty. Well, some days it's like, wow, nature really hates me. But generally speaking, watching it snow here, it's like this really tranquil thing. And for me, right across the street, there's this big church with stained glass windows, and at night they're lit up, and with the snow, I mean, it's like
I mean, a totally watching it from the distance, yes,
mm-hmm.
pretty. Having to go outside and do anything is really annoying when it's snowing or when it has snowed. So no. I don't like winter. I don't like snow. I don't like ice. I don't like the darkness. Like, I don't like anything that people would associate with winter. So
I can see where this would be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the sun comes out soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it will be. Spring Excellent. Is coming. Just spring have to hold, spring hold on to that hope.
Yeah. Speaking of spring and hope and sunshine, Ben, how are you?
I am between snowstorms and Bob Beach in the chat. You are welcome to come shovel my driveway anytime if you think it's so pretty.
Yeah.
It's only a vertical hill.
A vertical hill. Is that a contradiction in terms?
Well, I mean, outside of Dubuque, we call this cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Driftless region, we call that normal. You have to go to have rappelling gear to get to your houses.
Good times. Yeah. I remember back when I lived in Iowa, I lived in the southwest corner. So like just straight north from Kansas City. Every now and then there'd be like an ice storm. And coming from Colorado and knowing that there was crazy weather like that in Iowa, I brought my my winter summit assault gear, including my crampons. And people thought I was crazy. Why would you bring mountain gear to Iowa? There's cornfields all around. Like, literally, there were cornfields all around. Ice storm hits. No one can get around. People are falling, breaking bones. I put on my crampons, bundled up, and went outside, and no problem. For those of you that don't know what crampons are, they're like spikes that attach to the bottom of your hiking boots so that you can walk on ice. Or climb ice.
It's not a female hygiene product.
It is not a female hygiene product. No, it is not. In fact, it would be quite unsanitary and unsafe to use crampons as such.
Yeah.
Also probably hurts.
Or I like gold style golf spikes where we used to have the steel spikes.
Those would have worked great too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean I've seen those. Those are like a centimeter or something long.
Mm-hmm.
Crampons, they're like 3-4 centimeters long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a little bit different.
I didn't have golf spikes, but I did used to use my old Griffies for that.
There you go. See, it's like having Velcro on your feet.
I like
it.
Thankful.
And then there's people who like drive their bikes in that weather and don't care. So,
yeah, people put snow tires on their bikes here. I'm not
kidding. Up north, not a problem.
Surprised. I've never heard of snow tires on bikes. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm serious. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well. I mean, all the people putting them on their bikes.
Well,
but
yeah,
other than that, probably no one.
Yeah. Some people probably don't know what bikes are.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah,
but they're probably American.
Out in your area, do they still use chains?
Yeah.
Okay. For the tires, not recreational. Oh, but for the tires.
Right. Yes. You don't see them on cars very often. But you do on the big trucks, and we have chain laws in Colorado. So when you're up in the mountains and you're in a big truck, for those of you on the other side of the Atlantic, caravans, trolleys, or no, is that it? Trolley. Anyhow, the big trucks, cargo trucks,
lorries.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They have chains on their tires up in the mountains.
So what you're saying is you have chain gangs in Colorado.
We absolutely have chain gangs in Colorado. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so now we have a full understanding of Apple's new products, which involve weather management and traffic control. They did also announce some other stuff beyond the weather things, like a new HomePod.
Actually, that's kind of a weather thing.
Oh, nice tie-in. Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay, so this new HomePod, which I'm pretty sure does screw us on some of our predictions for Apple for 2023.
Actually, no, I double-checked we had predicted it for last year, like that there would be a new audio product. But I mean, question is this new? Like the new HomePod, when you look at it, it's kind of the old HomePod, but worse. In a sense, like on a spec sheet, it looks worse. Let's put it this way. It might be fine. But it's like, okay, worse Wi-Fi, less tweeters, less, like, okay, also less price. Like,
yeah,
same design.
So, okay. So for those of you that haven't read the specs yet, we went from 7 to 5 tweeters. We went from 6 to 4 microphones, 802.11 AC. Wi-Fi has been replaced with 802.11n.
Yeah. That is really strange.
Oh, I have a hypothesis on that, Patrice. I think the reason they went backwards to N is the same reason that they started with N in the HomePod Mini. And I think it's because of the incessant bugs with the original HomePod on AC. It doesn't work reliably. Connections drop out, music stalls or just stops, Siri can't respond or hear you very well. And the fix has consistently been force your HomePod onto an 802.11 network instead of AC. And when it's forced to an N network, it works really, really well.
Which is still 5 gigahertz. So,
yeah. So I figured that whatever the problem was, Apple could not figure out how to fix it. So instead, they're like, screw it. We'll just put N back in.
Mm.
Because I mean, that does work.
The bandwidth that the HomePod needs is probably not that big anyway. Like it's not a Mac or like Unity TV or something where you're streaming a lot of data over the network. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the highest bandwidth thing they do? Probably the software updates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit slower, but it's usually done in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not that they're just sitting there and waiting for the update to install.
So, yeah, I think usually the bigger time suck for the updates is actually the installation process and not the download.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. Bob Beach in the chat room is saying N will be fine. And Bob, you are correct. N will be fine. On paper, though, it does not look good. It's bad optics for Apple to have rolled that back. For most people, they will never know. But for the people that are writing articles about it, doing reviews, every single one of these is going to say, and Apple downgraded Wi-Fi.
And yeah, do you know who also uses wireless N? Number one, the Apple Watch Series 7 that they got the chip from.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Sonos.
And for the same reason. And most all of the Internet of Things devices that you're putting in your house.
Yeah. If they're even in.
Yeah, right.
Some of them might, I mean, not have Wi-Fi at all, or be like, okay, this is a, what is it, a B?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or might B or be a G. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Bob Beach is saying fewer tweeters doesn't necessarily mean lower quality audio.
Yes.
And that is absolutely true. We have not heard this speaker, so we don't know how it's going to sound.
Someone said the quality is, like in a review, the quality is about the same. Couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure someone somewhere will be able to measure it and say, oh, it has only five, so that's why. But
This is what bugs me about this announcement and some of the other announcements that we're probably going to touch on this week, is that we've seen the spec sheets, but nobody's heard these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, so they're passing judgment, and, you know, that just bothers me a lot. You know, let me see the specs on this stuff. Sure. Absolutely. But how about some real world reviews from people we trust? And, you know, then, and especially, and the reviewers, will be out there to be able to do side by side. And that's what you're really going to need to say, yes, it went up. No, it went down. You know, was the original HomePod over-engineered? Did it really need all those mics and those tweeters? Or could it have gone? You know, well, that's part of the question here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, until we have these kind of things, I mean, I'm a great believer in specs, but I've said this a million times. You know, I want to get my hands on the hardware and test it out for myself for what I do. And in this case, for what I listen to. And if it's as good, or heavens, you know, even the possibility it might be better, you know, then that's the way I will look at it. But instead, everybody's saying, well, you downgraded the Wi-Fi, and you don't have as many tweeters, you don't have as many microphones. It's like, go home.
It's the gigahertz thing. Like, it's the same. It's just like gigahertz comparisons that make no difference whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said the HomePod, like the original HomePod, was probably over-engineered, because it was over-engineered for what most people needed. I mean, what I needed. I mean, I'm actually quite happy with the Mini. Like, can you hear the difference? Yes. Does it matter? No.
Yeah, the Mini, I was fine with the sound, and I'm basing that on a price point as well. When I got a second one, turned it into a stereo pair, it was shocking how much better it sounded.
Yep.
Really, Jeff? I hadn't heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. How's my sound?
Fine.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am using the internal microphones on this MacBook Pro. And for anyone who has heard the audio in this particular model, that's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has significantly upped its audio game in the, 7 years or so since the original HomePod was released.
Is it that long?
I want it.
Is it really that long?
No, not quite. Wasn't it 2017?
I don't know.
So it would be 5 years. I think it was 2017.
I noticed the update to the sound more on the current models now. I mean, this 2021 M1 Pro blows away the sound that I had on my 2019 MacBook Pro.
Yeah,
it was announced June 15th, 2027 at WWDC, and
2017.
What did I say? Yeah, sorry, 2017. Yeah, sorry, 2017. And they started taking orders on January 28th, 2018.
Okay.
Okay.
And it looks like it shipped in February.
Right, February 9th.
Yeah, because I know I got some.
But I mean, in those 5 years, Apple has really upped its audio game.
100%.
Yeah, not the software, but the hardware.
Yeah.
Ben, it's funny you say that because for reasons that really don't have any relevance here, just this week I had occasion to do some testing with some older MacBook Pros and the current MacBook Pro. And you're right. The difference is kind of shocking. I mean, the Jeff, what year is your what are you, 2019 Intel?
I have the 2019 Intel MacBook Pro.
That was one of the ones I had my hands on. And I could not believe, just candidly, how bad the audio was from the internal mics versus, you know, my M1 MacBook Pro. Oh. And so, you know, in fact, even honestly, even some of the MacBook Airs were better as it came along. So I'm with Ben. I think there's a fair chance that there's, you know, just by measuring tweeters and woofers, that might not be the best way to judge these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, not only that, not only have the tweeters in this MacBook Pro gotten considerably better in quality, they have also gotten considerably louder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm
judging a speaker just based on the number of tweeters and woofers it has is also not appropriate. You need to hear how it sounds. Example, yeah. Like Chuck, I have Audio Engine A5 speakers on my desk, and it has one tweeter and one woofer per speaker. And these speakers are amazing. So don't use that number as the deciding factor as to whether it's going to be good speakers or not.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Who's getting a new HomePod?
I don't have to.
I don't have to either. I got my stereo.
Mine got upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And I will wait and see.
Yeah,
I still have the original HomePods, and I'm fine with them. So
yeah, I'm too. I mean, I definitely want to go into the store and listen to them, see how they are,
mm-hmm.
and notice any distinguishing difference. I just can't imagine.
The only real upside, or the two upsides for me, are it sounds like we don't have confirmation yet that the cable is replaceable or is separate. We'll see, but it's a little bit like the description seems to suggest it might be separate. And thread network, matter or thread support.
I think, Patrice, that I read an article yesterday. Don't hold me to it. I think it was Macworld that they were saying that it is definitely attached, that it's one of, you know, one of the strange things about this. But then again, some of the other things that they claimed were strange, I didn't buy into anyway. So we'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah. Bob Beach is saying it is detachable. And
I haven't seen any I haven't seen any confirmation either way. So the difference seems to be for this HomePod, Apple is mentioning it as in the package, and for the old one, they were not.
Yeah. I'm not making any assumptions on this until they're actually out in the wild.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to wait. Yeah, but it would certainly make sense, but we'll have to see.
Do you know what I will say? You know, when to Jeff's question about buying a new HomePod, I would not buy it as an upgrade to what I already have, because I really like those.
Yes.
But I will say this, and Ken Ray said it on his show, and I think he said it really well. You know, the HomePod sounds great. The HomePod Mini sounds great. You listen to them one after the other, or put them in the side by side, and the HomePod Mini is not as good, but it still sounds great. And so that's something that, you know, I have one HomePod in one place in my home, and for whatever reason, I think it sounds decidedly not as good. Now, I have not done Jeff's trick of doing a stereo pair with it, so that might be a way for me to rearrange things. But there is one place that I would have, if the original HomePod had still been around, I probably would have upgraded. So we'll see.
Yeah. Again, I got the stereo pair with the HomePod, the original, and then I've got a bunch of Mac HomePod Minis around the house that are just perfectly fine for each of the rooms that I have them in, and the sound quality for that is perfect. You know, I even have one in another house that's used, you know, pretty extensively, and they get really good sound out of it. So
the Minis just got an upgrade, because now you can you can access the temperature and humidity sensors that it always had, and we always wondered why.
The software update. Yep.
Yeah.
That's coming next week.
Yep. Now I'm wondering how many people that have original HomePods are going to sell them now because they want the new second gen HomePods, and you can't stereo pair the original and the new ones.
Nope, you cannot.
So I'm thinking, since I never did end up getting a second HomePod, maybe now I'll pick up a used original HomePod and then have a stereo pair, because, you know, it's I've got this really good HomePod. I just don't use it as a stereo HomePod.
I can give you one of mine. Oh. I have too many of them, so.
You're the best.
Awesome. Looks like they're pretty. There's quite a few of them on eBay right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm on one hand thinking, oh, I should go look, and on the other hand, I shouldn't go look.
Yeah.
All right. So, in addition to the new HomePods, Apple also announced new M2 Max. So we have a Mac Mini, MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air all running M2 processors. Holy crap. Which do we start with? Let's start with the Mini.
Mini, yeah. I mean, I'm blown away by it. You know, I've got the M1 Mac Minis here and still blown away by those. I mean, they're just tremendously fast machines for the price. They lower the price $100, so it's there you go in itself. What an incredible value. And then they put us another model with the M2 Pro. That's kind of the midline, so you don't have the big but have to pay the big budget price for the Mac Studio, and have a really decent machine with the Mac Mini. I'm just loving it. This is the most love Apple's given to the Mac Mini in quite a long time. Honestly, I mean, it's
probably
since it was originally, because you got to remember, from 2014 was the machine. We waited 4 years before another Mac Mini came out, and then at least they kept it in a 2 year interval after that with when they came out with the M1. But they're now realizing how important this Mac Mini is in the product line, and I'm telling you, it's going to sell like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the MacBook Pro, they introduced an extra M1 Max level, basically. Right. So there's what was it, 96 core? No, 96 gigabytes, sorry.
96 gigabytes of RAM you could add, yeah. Which I think is insane.
Yeah, but... yeah. But it requires an extra, like a higher level M1 Max. So there's
right.
like
but, yeah, you only
there's
one
that has a little bit
Max.
More cores, right. And so on, and then you can get more RAM. So
yep, you can only get it in the that model. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's basically now two M1 Maxes with two levels of RAM you can buy. Like there's the normal Max with 64 gigs that you need, or if you want even more, you have to go one more level, and then you get the 96.
Right. Yeah, it's an add-on, which is a crazy high price add-on. Uh-huh. It's $800 for 96 gigabytes of RAM. So. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you're going to be one of those who are even looking at it, price is usually not a concern.
This is true. You max it out, it's going to be you're about $6,200. That's if you upgrade to a 2 terabyte drive and the 96 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pro level machine for pro users, and it's a business expense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's where Apple's looking at it in this sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and at that level, you might actually hear the fans once in a while.
Maybe. Maybe. I have never heard the fans in my Mac.
I've had this MacBook Pro for a year. I never hear the fan. Never.
My fans are going right now.
I fired up a 2018 machine that's behind me here. I was doing some work and like, oh my God, I haven't heard that fan in years.
Before this episode is done, we will have Jeff get out his credit card.
We tried to twist his arm last night.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, I'm still rocking a 2019 16-inch MacBook Pro Intel processor.
I have one of those too here.
And I mean, it's still a great machine. Yes, I think I'm pushing it to its limit right now. But it's still a really good machine. And with the M1 MacBook Pro, it was a great machine. But at the same time, I was like, this computer is doing everything I need. If I'm replacing it, I'm replacing it just because a new machine is out, not because I need a new machine. And now with the M2s out, I'm looking at those and I'm thinking, well, at this point, I am kind of at the edge of what I can really do, because my fans just run all the time at this point. Maybe it's time for a new one. But now it raises the really interesting problem for me, which is, do I get a new MacBook Pro or do I get a new MacBook Air? Because an M2 MacBook Air will cost less, like significantly less, and will still outperform my 2019 MacBook Pro by a significant margin.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that I can get my work machine replaced. Like, and I've pushed it across the edge. Like, I'm beyond it. Like, I'm just running out of memory all the time. The fan is just running. No, I have the same that Jeff has.
Intel.
2019 Intel. 16 gigs of RAM, and I'm just like, I mean, basically, like, I have, like, Teams calls that drop because I'm running out of RAM. So, on that level.
Yeah, I use one of those little tools, like, what is it, Memory Cleaner or something?
I don't have all of that. Doesn't matter.
Anyway. And
I'm just running too much stuff that I need.
Yeah, so I hadn't thought about that, Patrice. I am having to purge memory a lot.
Yeah, I have to reboot it every 2 days, and then it's fine.
Crap. I have to reboot my computer every couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I have not had memory problems at all since going to
this
Mac.
Shut up.
No, nope.
Hey, same here.
Stop talking. All of you, stop talking. This is expensive discussion.
This is really expensive. Yeah, Jeff, I'm right now using 55 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay, so I want to have a little fun here. I was doing a little research just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. So the bottom level Mac Mini 2, excuse me, Mac Mini M2, with 16 gigs of unified memory and 512 of SSD storage, okay, comes in at $999 purchased new. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, but this gets a little crazier, okay? And it's totally dependent on whether you have a monitor or, you know, what kind of monitor you want or need. Mm-hmm. But right now you can go to the Refurb Apple Store, and I will put this link in case anybody really wants to partake of it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I saw that yesterday. I know where you're going with this.
This is there is lost it here. For $1,609, you can get an M1 with 8-core and 8-core CPU and 8-core GPU. With the same memory and SSD for $1,609.
And it's an iMac.
So you get the screen for, you know, what, basically $600.
Which is a really good price for a screen like that.
Which is a really good price for a screen like that. So, you know, you go out and try to buy something comparable. Now you can obviously get better display You can get 4K displays. I think this is I think they consider this a 4.5K display because it's, you know, but you start having to do this math now. It's M2 versus M1. And definitely the M2 is more powerful. But what do you need? You know, what are you doing with your machine? And, you know, this is, and I haven't even started to try to draw up a chart on the M2, you know, the upper levels of the M1 versus the low to mid level M2s.
Yeah. So I mean the difference between a M1 and M2, same core configuration, is not that big. I mean, it is an increase, but it's not like, okay, it's whatever, 50% more or something. I think it's like, right, depending 20, on whether I it's think. Single core or multi-core, score is like 10% or something.
Oh, okay.
10 to 15, somewhere in that range, I think. So now, you might not need that.
Yeah, to try to be fair about this, if you buy the Mini, if you're any of us, you're probably going to need to buy a dock as well.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, because the Mini has more ports. If you're going to get the equivalent number of ports or more on the iMac, you're going to need to buy a dock. So, you know, these are the kind of things that folks are facing out there, trying to figure out what the best value is. And it always comes back to what are you doing with your machine?
Right.
And does the all-in-one form factor really add value for you, or doesn't it matter?
Yeah. These are things that people really need to think about when they're looking at getting a new computer. And when I think about what should I get when it's time to replace my computer, which is apparently happening much faster than I would like.
What time is it, Jeff?
Yeah. I'm watching the second hand get closer and closer to purchase time. For me, it was like, okay, so a Mac Mini, this is like a serious machine.
It is.
And I don't travel like I used to. So do I really need a laptop? And if not, then the best value for my money is a Mac Mini. Put that card away unless you're buying me a computer. But I am away from my desk often enough still that a laptop would be a really nice thing to have.
That's the wrong card. That's the card you need.
There we go.
True.
Dave,
I'm not rich enough for that.
Should I send over the specs for what I need?
Yeah.
Dave can probably put it into the corporate system at work and just order one for you. Right?
Oh, don't say that.
which reminds me, hey, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
Apple has, or Best Buy has that Apple lease to own program.
That is true.
Oh, you are all dicks.
The trading program, that's right.
Yeah, we're trying to help you, Jeff.
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Yeah. Okay, so here's another interesting thing about these new computers. Previously, when we would look at a new Mac, it would be common to just look at what the top of the line model is, because mm-hmm. we all need serious horsepower. I didn't need to do that when I started looking at what the options are here. The middle of the line is more than enough. It's fascinating to me to look at what's happening. And Chuck, wasn't it you that said, I think on Mac Voices, that Apple is now making the Pro part of the name actually mean it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This has been a long time coming. And frankly, I thought it happened. Nobody throw tomatoes at me, but it almost happened with the old or the existing Mac Pro, that was a much more serious machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was priced seriously, but it was a much more serious machine. And now I think we're moving into another, just the next evolution of that, where, yes, these high-end machines are, honest to God, high-end machines. And there may have been a subtle message sent in that video, the announcement video, when you saw the kind of work that those pros were doing with this new device. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I can't claim to do anything that approaches what they were doing. They clearly want, need, and can use the horsepower. Do I want the horsepower? Of course I do. You know, but I also want a Ferrari, but I'm not going to pay for it.
There's another difference. I mean, I think that that's a change. Maybe it's a mindset change, but I think it has to do with the product. It used to be that you would get what you, I mean, you would think about, okay, what do I need? Like, I want to keep this machine for the next, whatever, 3 years. I'll get this device, and then maybe I'll do these upgrades down the line and all of that. And that was fine. That has changed. One, as you said, you don't need the power anymore. Like, I mean, the middle of the line is like, it used to be you had to get somewhere towards the top because, yeah, you needed that, but you don't need it anymore. And the other thing is the upgrade path is not there anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I recommend everybody do is like, look at what you need right now. Don't look in like 4 years, because in 4 years, everything can change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't buy the big semi or the pickup truck for, every two years, I need to, whatever. I need to drive a desk from A to B. Like, don't look and don't look at your Mac the same way and say, oh yeah, once in a blue moon, I need to, whatever, run a rendering job and it has, like, I want it to be done in 30 minutes. Like, that makes no sense. Look at what you need really right now. If it changes if it shouldn't change in the next 6 months, but if it changes in 2 years, the resale prices for the Macs are so good that you can just sell it. I mean, unless you have really severely mistreated your Mac, you can just sell it and buy a new one. That does the thing that you need then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just don't trade it into Apple.
No, I have experience trading with Apple.
Yes. Yeah. No. Okay. What I don't. It, here in Europe, forget that. Like the trading, like from Apple here, like forget that. Like you get pennies. I don't know why. So, like, it's stupid.
Okay, so that's a great point, Patrice. So, what is the best way that everyone has found to sell their Macs? Do you go to eBay, and you deal with those hassles? Do you use one of the other reefer or services that buy your Mac? Declutter, I think Gazelle. Where have you all had good experience?
Depends. Sometimes it's friends or families. Sometimes it's the like third party resellers. There are some really good ones.
Yeah. I mean, when I sold my Mac Mini to buy the M1 Pro, I had an offer from those third party retailers. I knew my sister and her family were looking for computers. So, I let them know what they could get. I could get on the trade-in market, so they matched it, and I did the easier way.
Yeah,
totally.
Okay.
And I mean, you can check what Apple offers you, and if you're okay with that, you're like, okay, no, that sounds fair, and that's not a bad deal. Go for it. Like, I'm not saying Apple's deals are always bad. Like, it just depends.
Well, and who just said it? That Best Buy has a trade-in program too?
Yes.
They have a leasing program, a lease to buy program,
right?
Over 3 years, where you can lease that MacBook Pro, and then if you want, you can choose to buy it outright at the end of the lease.
Okay, but they do not have a trade in program. I don't know, but
they have a for credit trade in program.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to buy from Best Buy, that might also be an option.
Okay.
My system for getting rid of my old Apple gear typically has been family member in need. I've got something new. My old thing will work for them, and I just give it to them. I've used Craigslist a couple times, and I used one of the trade-in programs it doesn't matter. It was the AT&T thing when I was on them and was upgrading phones regularly. But yeah, most of my gear, when I'm done with it, it just goes on to another family member or friend, whatever, someone that needs it.
Yeah, which is also an option. As I said, like, price it for what you need right now or what you need the next, let's say, 1 to 2 years, not for, in 4 years, I will need that.
That might change.
Yeah. And as I said, I mean, we've all been trained, you should have the maximum RAM and CPU because you might need it in a couple of years. But as I said, that doesn't, like, financially doesn't make sense.
No.
But at the same time, Patrice, you know, my advice to people too is don't necessarily buy the bottom level. Now, the M2 may change that. But, you know, the best thing I want is for somebody to get it and then be frustrated with it. But I don't feel like that's as much of an issue now that we have the M series.
No. I mean, there's two things to that. One, I mean, hopefully you realize it pretty quickly. You could return it. There's a return window. Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, like, the point is, think about it. Like, don't just assume, oh, I need the maximum, or I need, like, whatever, in 4 years, I still want to have this machine, and that's why I want to have the maximum. Don't just assume it. Like, think, I mean, I thought, like, before I bought it, like, my MacBook, I really thought about that very hard, and it was a tough decision, because I was like, okay, do I really need the 64 gigs of RAM? I sure wanted it. Like, if money was not a problem and anything, I wanted it. Mm-hmm. Do I really need it? That was the level. And it was mostly because I really didn't need the CPU that came with it. And I still don't. Mm-hmm. So think about that. Like, think really, and also for Jeff, for you, like, think really hard about how do you use your machines and how do you want to use your machines. And for me, that was like, I was in the same place. I was like, oh, I work at my desk all the time. And then I realized that I actually really like to work from my sofa and work from the bed and maybe go to a coffee place and travel a little bit, maybe, and so on. And a laptop is way better for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And Chuck, the differences between the low-end model and the mid-range model, at least on these new M2 computers, I found to be interesting. There's no difference between processors. It's just the amount of RAM and the amount of storage.
Yep.
I think on the MacBook Pro, that's not quite true. The 14-inch MacBook Pro, there's a difference, I think, of this. Wasn't there a difference in the CPU?
Oh, I didn't
course?
Look at the 14-inch model. I looked at the
16. I think there's a difference in like the minor difference in CPU cores, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you I do have the 14-inch Pro. You're going to have still really, really, really good performance with that base bend model.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that bend model plus the special 36-month financing that I got when I bought it from Best Buy last year, that was probably the main reason I chose to go with the Pro over the Air. But I mean, to be perfectly honest, right now, whatever your use case is, you cannot find a bad Mac.
You can find
the wrong Mac, that, but you can't find a bad Mac. That's true. Yeah.
That's an interesting statement. That is a really interesting statement.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in a world now where if I didn't have a use case often enough to justify a laptop, I would have no problem buying a Mac Mini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for most of the Mac Mini's life, that was never an option for me because it was underpowered for my needs. Mm-hmm. And now it's like,
and not enough ports.
And not enough ports. And now I look at it, I'm like, holy crap. For under $1,000, you can have a machine that can do what most pros need.
Yeah. And if you don't have enough ports, OWC has a Thunderbolt dock designed to specifically for the Mini.
Mm-hmm.
That will literally work with any Thunderbolt or Intel Thunderbolt 3, USB 4, or now Thunderbolt 4 Mac Mini.
Yeah.
It depends on how
for us to have.
Yeah. If you wanted to connect like a certain number of displays, for example, there are some limitations with that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, with the lowest end one now having those Thunderbolt 4 options, you can't, I mean, it's truly the desktop that goes below the Mac Studio.
Yeah, there you go. It's absolutely awesome. Much like TSO hosts.
They're very awesome.
Yes, Tioso Host is awesome because they are giving us the bandwidth we need and the server space we need so that we can stream shows to you every single week live, so that we have a place for the website to live, and so that there's a place for all the show files to live, so that when you want to watch or listen later, you can. And the resources it takes to do that, it's beyond what we would be able to manage. So we are so glad that Tioso Host is providing that for us. It's incredibly generous, and it's awesome. They're just really giving us what they do anyhow, which is provide web hosting, domain names, that kind of stuff. And they're really good at it. So what they want from us in return for their incredibly generous support is so easy. Just go on social media, whichever one you like or is still around, and give them some online love. Thank them for being here supporting the British Tech Network. And then if you're ready to buy a domain name, host a website, go ahead and use them for that too, because their services are great. And because you're a BTN fan, you can use the discount code BTN20 at checkout and get 20% off your order. So thank you to Tioso Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Patrice, do you mind helping me out yet again and telling people where they can find the chat?
Of course, Jeff, of course. So very easy. If you're listening to this live and you're not in the chat room already, then head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. That's it. Like, just click on the connecting and then you're in. You can do that every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And also, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show if you're into the non-Apple side of things, like whatever, space technology and cars, and Android and Windows and gaming and all the other fun stuff. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice after the fact recorded. Then, unfortunately, you can't join the live chat. I mean, you can join it, but I don't think anybody's going to be there. It's not the same. You can still get to all the cool links that Jeff posted, the cool things that are coming up. We will post links. Everything that we've talked about, you can still see that at least. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to today's date, the recording date, by the way, which is the 20th of January 2023. I almost said December. January 20th, 2023. And that's it. And you can see everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, because I'm clearly just not capable of...
you're plenty capable.
Yeah, well, I feel much better about you doing it because you're awesome. Okay, it is now time for the cool thing. So who has the first cool thing?
I can go.
Awesome.
I saw Kensington over at CES, and I have this dock station that is right here. This is the SD1700P. It's a USB-C dual 4K mobile dock with Qi charging. So it will charge your iPhone right there, as you see on the camera there. And does have USB-A ports, the 3.2s. It's got the power pass through Thunderbolt, and then there's a switch on here that switches between the dock and the Qi charging, so you can use this as your charger at night when you're traveling. And on the other side, you have the Ethernet connection here, and you got two HDMI connectors. So it's a nice little dock that you can travel with, and gives you options so you don't have to carry all kinds of stuff with you. And you know, standard USB-C connector, and it's not bad. It's about $149. Amazon's got it for around the same price, but not a bad little dock, and the Qi charging works great. I put my iPhone on here and it charged no problem. It's 100 watts, so got a lot of charge out of this little box.
Nice. This show is so expensive. All right, who has the next thing? Because apparently you're all making me spend money this week. Okay, so Ben's cool thing is his credit card that he is buying Macs with for me. Thank you, Ben.
He must wear that out.
That's cool. Well, I'll go. Last week, I promised you to give you a second update on the rig that I used for CES because I changed everything this year. So the second part, we talked about the camera last week. The second part is the DJI mic. This is a two mic lav set with receiver that absolutely performed amazingly well. You have the receiver, of course, it plugs into the mic, and it's wireless and had no trouble in the crazy environment, in the crazy electromagnetic environment that is CES. This performed flawlessly. What makes this extra cool though, is that not only is the lav transmitting back to the receiver, but it is also recording the audio on the mic itself.
Okay.
So if anything does go wrong with the reception or whatever, you still have a backup recording on the mic itself. So in some ways,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you really don't even necessarily need to have the receiver. If you don't want to, you can just use the audio and then fix it or put it together later in post. So this absolutely was phenomenal. Frederick Van Johnson cost me so much money when he recommended this setup, but I'm telling you what, it performed flawlessly. Only one time so far have I had to go back to the recordings on the mic itself. It always records to SD card. The camera records an SD card. The mic is internal, but you can plug it into USB and dump it off to your machine very quickly and clean it off. So that was fantastic. The one issue, and especially in a post-COVID world, is you don't want to be walking up to people and saying, here, let me clip this lav on you that I just clipped on 43 other people. So I ended up putting one of the lavs on a stick. And there's the link for
that. Lav on a stick.
So your new microphone setup totally makes sense to me now.
Yeah. Right.
With the fuzzy.
With the little, because it comes with that little dead cat windscreen and had no plosives, no nothing. But it just clips right on this handle from Small Rig. And so you have, you know, your handheld microphone, and still have all the benefits of the mic system itself. And because you're only using one of the lavs, you know, especially, you know, I could put a lav on myself, but you know, why do that? So, you know, I can go back and forth. Now on the show floor, I don't have to worry about, and I never did actually, because the one mic just never ran out of juice. But if you were in a really demanding environment for a protracted period of time, you just take one lav off, put it back in the charging case, and then put the other lav on and keep on going. So this
lav
just,
on, lav off.
On, lav off.
Yeah.
This is great.
It is. I mean, there's just so many. And the case is a charging case, just like your AirPods. So, you know, while any of when the lavs are in the case, they're recharging for you. I mean, it's the ultimate setup. It is absolutely perfect. Plus that the is fact
fantastic.
That, yeah. Plus the fact that I had a number of people ask if they could pet my microphone.
Yeah. The Muppet hair mic people are just drawn to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, if nothing else, it's a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. But you know, and listen, I will tell you, I did a couple tests. I'm not sure I really needed it. But when you don't know who you're going to be talking to or what the environment's going to be, it's like, it doesn't cost anything to put it on. Why don't you just attach the darn thing and then be safe? Because you can't go back and re-record.
Right.
So, so this is not for everybody. Obviously, the price is a bit salty. But if you have the need, this, I can't tell you a single thing that I didn't like about this.
This is very cool.
Very cool.
Expensive show. You need a pettable microphone, Jeff.
I do need a pettable microphone. Yep.
Just keep it away from Kat.
No kidding.
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
She would love that. All right, Patrice, your cool thing.
It's something that
I'm not going to have to spend money because I already have it.
Okay. So my cool thing is probably something that we're all, assuming almost all using right now, which is at Audio Hijack 4. Yes, at this very moment, Audio Hijack 4. Having picked this in the past, I was surprised, and I don't know what I wanted to pick today. So, what can I say about it? It is the ultimate audio... What do I call it? It's not a recording app because it does much
more.
It's
like a digital mixer board.
It's kind of, yeah, it's the ultimate fully flexible digital mixer board for your Mac. So no matter what you want to do, like whether you want to like record a podcast with like multiple people and have a recording for every single person and maybe have also some mixing for every single person, like I don't know, someone needs a little bit more bass or whatever. On the live stream, you can do all of that. You can basically draw almost like you combine blocks and kind of draw a graph and say, okay, audio comes in here, and then I do these things, and then it goes out here, and that's it. And it's super simple. Like you don't have to be a like crazy audio engineer to know how to wire up all the things and whatever. No, you just draw the blocks are self-explanatory mostly, and you just drag them into the right place chart. And it does it. It's a flow chart. That's a good point. Yeah, if you know flow charts, then you know that. It's just great. I mean, I have like two or three different setups and I literally use it every day. I use it for work. Like I have a very simple work setup that just takes this microphone, does some simple processing and then just sends it out to Teams and to Zoom. And I have a podcast set up for this, and I have like a really extensive setup when I'm recording podcasts, where, as I said, I want to have a combined file, and I want to have a separate file for every guest, and I want to have whatever the local, like when I'm doing screen sharing maybe or videos or whatever, I want to have the local audio and all of that. I can have like all of it and just decide where I want to send it. Like just very simple. So yeah, great app. I have no idea how much it costs.
I have no idea how much it costs.
$64.
Okay. One time $64.
Or $29 if you're upgrading from Audio Hijack.
Mm-hmm.
Great app. They now have
costs, but yeah. It didn't matter.
They now have shortcut support and a lot of like automation and scripting support and scheduling support if you just want to schedule things and all of that. So
phenomenal.
Yeah, just a great app. Native on the Mac, and it still works with Apple's crazy security. So, who knows?
Yeah,
Rogo maybe a smart people. All their apps are just amazing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That initial setup with Apple's crazy security could be incredibly daunting, but they have really detailed instructions with screenshots.
Yeah, and you do it once, and then you never have to do it again. And, unless you reinstall your Mac, I think.
Yeah, it's great. Yep. Man, another great pick. And I'm glad I already have it so that
saved you some money, Jeff.
Yes. All right. So Ben. Oh good. Ben's not costing me money either because I already have Netflix.
Yep. So this one has been interesting. Always kind of interested me because one, I am the Iowa branch of a very Wisconsin family.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I watched the original while I was in high school. And three, this new reboot show is actually about my generation. It's called That 90s Show. If the name of that sounds a little bit familiar, it is basically the 20 years after to That 70s Show, where Eric and Donna Foreman's daughter Leia is now the main character. It has most of the returning cast in either starring or supporting roles. It's 10 episodes all up right now on Netflix.
Very nice.
Cool. I will probably check it out. I did enjoy That 70s Show. I didn't watch it regularly, but I enjoyed it. So I'm guessing that if the writing is as good as it was for the 70s show, I'll enjoy this.
I mean, but, I have Deborah Jo
Rupp, anything she's in.
Oh yeah.
She's great. Yeah.
And the president of the United Federation of Planets.
Yeah. Yeah. What a guy. Not the president of the United Federation of Planets, who will kick you in the ass.
Yep, but is not above the law.
There you go. Yeah, so ass kicking, legal in Star Trek. Awesome. Okay, so I guess that means I am the only cool thing left.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
You're picking yourself as the cool thing?
Yes, I pick me. No, I would pick all of you before I pick me. All right, my cool thing is another Mastodon client. My initial Mastodon client on my iPhone was the Mastodon app, which is, I mean, I'm glad it's there. And then on Patrice's recommendation, I switched over to Toot, which is a great client. And then a couple days ago, I heard about Ice Cubes, which it's like on the App Store as of yesterday, as we record, Wednesday or Thursday is when it finally hit the App Store. And this is another really great iPhone and iPad Mastodon client. And I'm actually kind of torn already. Do I like this one more than Toot? I don't know. But the point is, we are getting a lot of really good Mastodon client apps that are coming out. And Toot is a great one. And I think Ice Cubes is another great one. So it does all the stuff that you would expect one of these client apps to do. The limitations at this point really are based on features that have not rolled out yet on Mastodon. So as those become available, I'm sure we'll see updates to this app and all the others. But you can use it for free, and it's fully featured for free. So the in-app purchases are just, let me throw some money at the developer to help support them things, not feature unlocks. So that's incredibly generous on the developer's part. So if you decide you really like Ice Cubes and you're going to keep using it, do some in-app purchases to help support the developer. So there you go. Ice Cube. You have a background for everything, Ben, don't you? Yeah. All right.
The way his mind works is disturbing.
Yeah. So yes, support the XXX2 of
Mastodon
clients.
Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah. Pretty soon, there's going to be the Vin's Diesel client for XXX1.
Can't wait. I'm sure it'll be amazing. So with that, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. The latest episode is up and had three of the four panelists here on the show. So we had a lot of great time. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/ In Touch with iOS. I'm on Mastodon Cloud at DaveG65. That's all I'm going to leave it at. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, so glad you're here. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can see all the interviews I did from CES and a whole lot more, and there are more coming. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. We'd love to have you join us in the chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And to steal, I think, Ben's comment on your social media of choice, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner and or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. And Patrice is right. You are a machine. The videos you're cranking out, It's fantastic.
Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fun. A lot of great people, a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And you put a lot of work in those. So thank you for all you're doing, being out there, being our eyes.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Yeah, I was just showing the long list of videos that hasn't left queued up. You can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally anything I'm doing, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories, head over to foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And if you're not listening to Foodie Flashback yet, do yourself a favor and start checking out episodes.
And I'm the opposite of Chuck. Like, it takes me a year to edit an episode, and he does like one a minute. So I'm sorry. It's just been a crazy time.
Yeah. In fact, Chuck has actually put out 5 episodes of Mac Voices while we've been on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's that M1 Ultra that does it, guys. It's the
That's probably it.
That makes all the difference. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ben, where can people find you?
First of all, you can find me collecting all the Mastodon clients on the various app stores.
Excellent.
But if you actually want to see or hear from me, which I don't understand why anybody would ever want to do, you can find in my writings at raythigtech.blogspot.com for the interim site, and at Ben Raythig on the social medias.
Ben, I can tell you why we went to read what you write and hear what you say. It's because you're not an idiot. You're smart.
Okay.
There are way too many idiots
out
there.
That's the level.
So the gems like you, the smart people, we gravitate towards you because you're like a light in the darkness, and we are moths drawn to your flame of intelligence.
Here we go, Jeff.
Wow.
Man, that card gets a workout.
Okay, now I'll tell you the specs I need on my Mac that you're about to buy.
Put it on that credit card.
Yes. All right. So you can find me on JGamut on whatever social you are using. I'm most active right now on Mastodon and Instagram, and I have not been back to Twitter since Twitter killed the third party apps. Let's see.
No loss.
Don't get him started, Dave. Don't get him started.
Okay. Whew. Deep breath.
You haven't lost anything, Jeff, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way it happened. Mm. Ben just dropped a link for what my new laptop should be into the chat room, and I don't have to click the link. All I have to do is read the URL, and I'll take 2.
That's great, Ben.
Make a mirror.
Yeah, it's a makeup mirror.
Totally get one of them.
The funny thing is, I did actually get one of these for a famous former employer while I still worked at that publication for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came with from eBay with the screen/mirror cracked.
Oh my God. That's sad, but also kind of funny. Oh, I didn't say any shows that I'm on, did I? Most Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live with Chuck. Thursdays on The Big Show. And most Thursday evenings with Dave on his show, In Touch with iOS, here on Fridays. And Brian Chaffin and I are, I believe, recording another Context Machine today. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Hey, thank you, all of you for being here. You are all awesome and absolutely wonderful and amazing. And I really genuinely love getting to start off my Fridays hanging out with all of you and with everyone that watches and everyone that participates in the live chat. I'm so glad you're here too. I love that I get to spend my Friday mornings with you. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens later, I am so glad that you're part of the BTN family as well. And thank you to TSO hosts for being here to support us. Thank you, Mueller, for making sure that we have people for shows and that we actually have shows scheduled. And Ewan, we love you. You're awesome. Can't wait until you are able to join us for a show again. And with that, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Join us again next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.